Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we who have not seen have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated. Well, I said we were going to tell jokes, but I think I'm going to wait and have you tell those jokes in Sunday school. Or, I'm, well, knock, knock.
Luther.
Who? Did you hear an owl?
Right now.
Who? Who's there?
Boo.
Boo-hoo.
Why are you crying?
Oh, you knock-knock ones. Do you have a knock-knock joke?
I don't do knock-knock jokes.
Okay, just hang on then. A knock-knock one? Okay. I read this story a couple weeks ago about a man who died, and they didn't know who he was. He didn't have any identification on him. They didn't know who he was. And the parents of this man reported him missing. And so they started going to all the hospitals and looking for this person. And when they went into the room to look at this body, the mother said, even though his face was burned, and she couldn't tell by his face, she looked and he had on his leg a scar where he had cut his leg when he was a little boy. He'd cut his leg climbing over a fence, and he had a long scar on his leg. And she looked at it and she saw that scar and she said, I know this is my son. By the look at the scar, she could tell who it was. Do you have any scars? Do any of you have any scars? Do you have a scar? On your knee, what happened?
I was running and then I fell.
You fell and you have a scar on your knee? I have a scar on my finger here where I cut myself on an Easter morning. I was fixing the big Easter candle, not in this church, but in another church. And I was fixing the candle and the knife came back on me. And I cut my finger pretty seriously and had to get a stitch in it. And I have a scar on my chin from when I was 10. I fell. I was on a sled on the snow, and I ran into a parked car on my sled. And so I didn't do much damage to the bumper of that car, but the bumper of the car did some damage on my face. Scars tell us, not they help identify, like the story that I told you about that man who had died with a burnt face. And scars also we can remember. You can remember for sure that you fell, and you know when you fell and where it was, because the scar reminds us who we are, and it helps identify. Today in Sunday school, you'll hear a story about Thomas, who wants to look at Jesus' scars to remind him who he is and to know for sure that he's talking to Jesus, that it's nobody else, that he wanted to see the scars. Show me the scars. Because he watched Jesus get nailed to the cross. He watched those nails go into his hands. And then he said, there'd be a scar there. So I want to see that scar, because then I'll know for sure that it's Jesus. So you'll hear that story and you'll figure out why. Why? That could be, but he wanted to know. He wanted to have his faith assured. So you'll hear that story in Sunday school. So Ian, would you take the Bible and head off to Sunday school?
Jesus loves the little children of the world. A reading from Acts.
Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of powers, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. For you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus Christ raised up, and all of that, all of us are witnesses. Word of God, word of life. We will not be saying the psalm today. We will be singing hymn number 509. Reading from 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, we get two resurrection appearances. We have three greetings of peace, a week long of pep talk, of encouragement to believe, and we have the very breath of Jesus blowing the Holy Spirit into his followers. What a story John, the gospel writer, gives to us in just these few verses. Not long, but profound. The disciples are locked behind closed doors because they are afraid. On Easter night, they are behind locked doors. And as the story unfolds, a week later, they're still huddled behind those closed doors. They are frightened, unsure, and at least with Thomas, not filled with very much belief or trust. They hardly look like the crowd of people who would be carrying on the transforming mission of Jesus Christ. But these are the ones. We know what the disciples were doing. We know how it feels to want to hide behind locked doors. We know how it feels to want to hide from things that frighten us or threaten us. Maybe not behind locked doors like Peter and the disciples did on that Easter weekend, but we do hide. We hide our worries and our insecurities. We hide our addictions and our illnesses. We hide our grudges and our unforgiven past. We hide our relationships that are less than whole or healthy. We hide our self-righteousness. We hide our doubt. We really want to hide our sin. We know what it's like to hide. We know what the disciples were going through on that Easter night. But there's great news in this story for the disciples and for us. First of all, the story tells us that we don't have to stay there. We don't have to be behind those locked doors with all those things that we want to keep hidden away. The good news is that Jesus has gone through those locked doors just as he did on that first Easter, and Jesus has come to us. He didn't wait for the disciples to believe the words of the women about the empty tomb. He didn't wait for the disciples to stop being afraid and unlock the doors. He didn't wait for Thomas to believe the amazing report from the other disciples that they had seen the Lord. He didn't wait for any of them to do anything different or to be anyone different. He showed up despite the locked doors, despite the doubts and the fears. He showed up and offered them peace. He showed up and loved them. That's what he did on that first Easter evening, and then a week later, and today. He comes through the locked doors and steps right into the middle of our messy lives. He offers us peace, forgiveness, and he loves us. That's what the resurrected Jesus does. And when Jesus loves us, he doesn't stop there. He invites us to respond. He stepped into the cloudy, doubt-filled world of Thomas and invited him to touch his wounds and to see for himself what he had doubted. And he does the same thing for us. And here's the amazing grace. Jesus doesn't invite us to touch his wounds. Jesus touches our wounds. And he invites us to believe. Jesus gave the Holy Spirit God's power, God's grace and guidance. He breathed on the disciples and gave them forgiveness. And this is the same Spirit that we are given in our baptism. This is the gift we are given over and over again as God reaches out and touches our wounded souls and makes us a new creation. When Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on the disciples, nothing much happened right away. A week later, they were still in that locked room behind those doors. That wonderful good news of God's forgiveness and the power and peace of the Holy Spirit just sat there. It took them a while to understand. Their coming to believe and to act on that belief was a process that they gradually grew into. And isn't that how it happens to us too? We live in a process, gradually growing more and more in our faith and in our understanding, gradually understanding more and more of what it means to be free and forgiven and loved by God. Jesus breathed on the disciples with the breath of the Holy Spirit, with his peace and forgiveness, his love, and then he sent them out. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. He gave them a mission. He called them into service. When the disciples discovered that it was only when they stepped out from behind those closed and locked doors and followed Jesus' command to be servants, it was only then that they discovered within themselves the ability and the strength that Jesus had given them. Then things began to change. It wasn't that all their fears went away and the world changed. They were probably still scared, and they were lonely, and they were still full of doubts. But something had changed. Jesus was with them. They knew it was true in a way that they had never imagined before. And it is true for us as well. Jesus walks through the locked doors and comes to us in love. He breathes on us the breath of the Holy Spirit and forgives us. He sends us out into the world just as he had been sent by the Father. This is the truth of Easter. And we have been sent to tell the world this truth. And we do that by loving one another. That's the work of the church. That's our mission. Our job is to reveal God to the world by loving and forgiving one another, by being of one heart and soul. When the world sees God through our love and forgiveness, the world can choose to be in a relationship with this God of limitless love. Our mission, the mission of this faith community, is to bear unceasing witness to the love of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus comes into the locked rooms of our messy lives and offers us peace and forgiveness and invites us to receive the Holy Spirit that makes that peace and forgiveness real and active in our lives. And then we are sent to share it. St. Peter's mission motto, called by God, we are seeking and sharing the love of Christ. That is our Easter power. We are called by God, and we are seeking and sharing the love of Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.